Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 268. 268. We'll sing hymn number 299.
day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Loving me, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, a protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he lays. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation given me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Good evening. Let's all turn to the book of Psalms together. I'd like to read Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Our kind and gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, we bow before you and are bound always first to give you thanks. Thank you for this word. Thank you for your precious promises, yes, on which we fully rely. Thank you most of all for our dear Savior, our representative, our substitute, our intercessor, the one who bled and died, paid the debt due our sin, gave us life eternal, established a righteousness for us. Oh, how we desire to honor him, to honor him with our lips, to honor him in our hearts, honor him in our lives, honor him in our walk, honor him in our reading and our praying, honor him in our thoughts, honor him now and for all eternity. We count it a privilege to be here tonight. Of all the places we could be, we're so thankful you've brought us to this place where your word is opened and Christ is preached, where we're caused to look to him. Because surely when our eyes depart from him, we're left to despair, hopelessness, helplessness, weakness, fear. But in him we have peace, we have comfort, we have salvation, we have confidence, we have rest, we have peace and righteousness and a good standing before thy righteous judgment throne. Him who is full of grace and truth, and of his fullness have we all gathered. Thank you for him. And Lord, we would ask you to remember our sick ones that's even nigh unto death. Lord, comfort their bodies, give them some rest, some relieve them of any pain. Most of all, speak to their hearts, give them comfort and peace and assurance and faith to continue believing, holding and trusting and cleaving to the very end to their Savior. Especially remember Brother Joe in this hour of need, and remember James and others that are sick. We pray for our pastor tonight as he stands and opens the word and sets forth the bread of life and preaches and uplifts Christ. Help him, give him strength, and help us to hear as hearers. Help us to be faithful hearers, to be prayerful hearers, ready hearers. And we look for a word from thee tonight, Lord, to lead us and guide us and instruct us. And may we leave this place rejoicing in all that we have in Christ, in all that we are in Christ. Bless his holy name. And we ask all these things in his dear name. Amen.
Hymn number 361. 361.
Sweet hour of prayer, distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, if you will. Let me tell you a couple things. I was planning on preaching Romans Sunday night and Wednesday night, but I decided against that. That's, folks couldn't hardly keep up, I don't think. Maybe they could, but I need some direction. I'm asking the Lord direction on Sunday night. I've got Galatians or John on my mind, so I don't know which one I'll do. And also, let me tell you this. I forgot to tell the men about it the other night. We had 4,200 downloads last month. That's a lot of downloads. A lot of people. And kind of shocked me. 25 countries. 25 countries it went into. 25 countries. A little old fella here in Crossville, Tennessee. You know, it just blows my poor little old weak mind. It don't take much, but it Before that, the most we had 33. So that was a blessing. I hope it's an encouragement to you. But let me look here in verse 16, Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Stand and see. Stand in the ways and see. And when you see, ask. Ask something. Ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. I want to talk about rest for your souls. How do you find rest for your souls? And one of the blessed and distinguishing marks of the good way, as it says here, the good way and the old paths, is that by walking in them, you find rest. You find rest for your souls. So if you got rest for your souls, you're walking in the old paths and the good way. The good way and the old paths. This is how we can tell the false from the real. We can judge which is the old path and the good way if we find rest for our souls. If we find rest for our souls. He said, ask for the old paths. And you know why he says ask for the old paths? It's because there's been many new ones. Lots of new ways that people's come up with. Lots of new paths for folks to go down on. There's been deceitful paths that people go down on. People go down a deceitful way. Down a deceitful way. And then there's those who go down a destructive way. Broad is the gate and wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And there's destructing ways that people go. And then there's delusive ones. And oh, I tell you, I see so many people so deluded. I tell you, most churches now are just three-ring circuses. That's about what goes on. Preachers are entertaining men on the way to hell. And I tell you what, if one thing we don't need to do is entertain people. If you want entertainment, watch television. Want entertainment, go hear some music. Want entertainment, go to a circus. But don't bring entertainment into the place where the gospel is supposed to be preached. Don't do that. And here's the thing. If you have no rest for your souls, you know why? Because you've not found the good way and the old paths, the good old way. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And he that takes my yoke upon you, he shall find rest. There's two rests there. I'm going to give you rest. And when he gives you that rest, he said, you find rest. There's nothing like rest. Rest of heart, rest of soul, rest of mind. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. And I tell you, the law couldn't give us rest. The law couldn't give us rest. Moses, you know, he didn't take the people into Canaan. Joshua, Jehovah, Jesus, our Savior, Jehoshua, that Jehovah, our Savior, he is the one that took them into the promised land. Moses, the law couldn't take them there. Moses couldn't cross Jordan. Moses couldn't take, the law can't take anybody anywhere and give them any rest. Can't do it. And the priest under the law, they had no power. And no place to ever rest. They never had a place to rest. They went from morning, they offered a morning lamb, and all day long they offered lambs and offered goats and offered bullocks. All day long they offered sacrifices. Those white garments that they had was bloody, and they never, ever, ever sat down. You know why they didn't sit down? Why they couldn't have no rest? There was no place to sit down in offering sacrifices. They had no rest and they had to continually offer the same sacrifices over and over and over, and not one of those sacrifices gave rest to one soul. Not one. The priest didn't rest. The people brought the sacrifices didn't rest. But oh my, rest, oh rest of soul, has been enjoyed for God's people and is now being enjoyed by his people. Rest, I tell you, rest is never found apart from the gospel. and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't find it. You can't find it apart from the gospel and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You take all the types and all the sacrifices under the law. So many types. So many types. And all the sacrifice under the law never gave anybody rest on a permanent basis. Oh no. They had to be offered, as I said, over and over again. And this is a lot of people think, if I could just get enough wealth, I could finally rest. There's a fella done that one time in the Bible. The scripture says, you know, he said that he had gathered many goods. He had so many goods, he tore down all of his barns and built bigger. And he filled up all of his barns. And he sat down and said, now so take thine ease. You've got many goods laid up for many years. And he said, thy soul, this night your soul's required of you. Oh, people think, if I can just get enough money, I'll have some rest. If my health will just hold out. But wealth and health and, oh, if I can just be honored, if I can be glorified, get my name somewhere where people don't recognize it. Oh, there is no rest in any temporal thing on this earth. There really isn't. There really isn't. But he said here, ask in the old ways and see and ask for the old paths in the good way. Let me give you a few things about the good way where we find rest if we walk. And that's what he said, walk. Walk therein. The good way and walk therein. Well, I do know this, that we walk by faith in this gospel way. We walk by faith in it. And I tell you, you know what the good way is that we walk in? The full, free atonement given, that God give us rest through the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, it's full, it's free, and an atonement gives rest to our conscience when our Lord Jesus Christ died for us and gave us our rest. Now look with me over here in Hebrews. I want you to look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You know, man's conscience, and Scott Richardson, the first time I heard him say that, it just, there's things that you hear, and they just get you right then and there. And he said so many things that nobody else ever said till he said them. And one of the things he said, a conscience, a screaming conscience, and your conscience will always ask for rest, ask for something to satisfy it. If you got a conscience and you do something to override your conscience will never be satisfied if it's trying to find rest for itself in anything else it does. But the only thing that will satisfy a conscience is a perfect sacrifice. And when you get a sacrifice that's perfect, that'll quieten your conscience, and it will never, ever ask for anything else. Never ask for nothing. When my conscience was, when I was trying to make peace with God on my terms, and I was trying to work on my terms, trying to be a legalist on my terms, trying to have my own righteousness on my terms, I never ever had any rest in my conscience. But when Christ became everything to me, and he became my atonement, and he put away my sin, and it was full and it was free, then my conscience never asked for anything else and ain't never asked for nothing yet. But look what it says here in Hebrews 10. Look at verses 1 through 3 with me. The law, having a shadow, but listen to this, of good things to come. But oh, there's some, you know, it was just a shadow. Shadow's got no substance to it. But it was a shadow of good things to come. But it wasn't the very image. It was still a shadow. Of the things, the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Couldn't do it. Said couldn't make them perfect. For if they could have made them perfect, they would have ceased to be offered. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. If he had purged your conscience by those sacrifices, you'd have no more consciousness of sins. But all, listen to this. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. And that's what's so sad about Arminianism and free will doctrine. They keep telling you that you got to live above sin. You got to quit your sinning. You got to come open some way or another. You know, if Christ comes and finds one sin in you, if you got one sin, then you're going to be lost. When it says here that, you know, when and that's the thing about it. When you ain't got nothing but your own self to satisfy, not God Himself, your own self, then you'll never be satisfied. And that's why I said there's this remembrance. Now look down in verse 11 and 12. And every priest stands. You notice he's standing. He ain't sitting. He's standing. Daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But now watch this. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. He sat down. Why? Because he didn't have nothing else to do. Everything was done, and that's what he says. And sat down on the right hand of God. And look in verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And oh my, let me go down here to verse 17. There's so much here. And he says now, and their sin, this is what the Lord said now. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. But God said he wouldn't remember no more. And he said, were their sins and iniquities, I remember. Now, were the payment, the remission of these are, you don't need another offering for sins. If your sin's been paid for, you don't need another offering. And no, because of that, we've got boldness, confidence, liberty. And we come into the holiest of all. How? By the blood, that atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, so that's what I'm talking about. Oh my, I tell you, only the sacrifice of Christ is a perfect and complete, and that will satisfy the conscience. It'll satisfy the conscience. And let me tell you another way, the good way, not only a full from walk therein, the way of believing the Word of God as a little child. Oh my, that'll give you rest to your understanding. You know, you think about believing everything it's in. This is just it's in black and white. Just black and white. Words on paper. But yet we say this is what God said. Every bit of it's what God said. And we come as little children and we find rest for our hearts and our minds and our understanding because we said God said it. And that's it. We don't have no more questions to ask. And oh my, to read the Bible, to be able to read God's blessed book and say, well, what is my rule? People always, you know, when we read the Bible, the only rule we have is this right here. Now, folks like to have rules. They do. They like to be told how to dress. They like to be told where they can go. They'd like to be told how many things they have to do. They like to be told how many services they have to go. They like to be told how much Bible they're reading they're supposed to do, how much prayer they're supposed to do, and how many times a day they're supposed to do. People like rules. They like structure. But the only people that you'll ever find rest for is people say, God said this. That's what we just read. Thus saith the Lord. That's enough. That rests your poor old mind, don't it? Not trying to figure out what God's saying. You just read it. Just read it. Like I read this morning, they were astonished beyond measure. I'm astonished beyond measure at the Word of God. Oh, my. To read and see the Bible is my only rule. How am I supposed to live in this world? Whatever God said, that's how you're supposed to do it. That's what God said, huh? Oh, son, you know, and then there's some places that's hard to be understood. I have that problem. There's a lot of places hard for me to understand. You know, you go to Ezekiel and you find them wheels within wheels within wheels. And you find them on fire running down there through there. And you go through all these Zechariah and Zephaniah and Habakkuk and all those books, and you try to say, what in the world is he talking about right there? A lot of things hard to be understood. And here's the thing about it. My father doesn't condemn me because I don't understand it all. You know why? How can a little child understand everything his father does? So if we can get about that much, I'm satisfied with what little I know. I am very happy with what little I know. I really am. Because, you know, when we get into eternity, here's the thing about it. God is so great. God is so glorious. God is eternal. There never was a time he wasn't. And everything that he ever was, he always is and always will be. He inhabits eternity. And he measures the waters in the hollows of his hands and the nations as a drop of a bucket. Now, when we get into eternity, God will still be eternal and will still be, and even though we got a new body, you'll never understand all there is to know. Well, it's impossible to know how God is. I mean, when he's everywhere, how are you going to find him? When he knows everything from the beginning. He declared the end before he ever started the beginning. And he knowed all of his children by name before he ever created the world. He said, this is going to be his name. Oh, my. So if we can understand just a little bit here, That's why I get so happy when I'm preaching, because you'll give me something this is one of the most wonderful things. And if anybody's been preaching, you know, you get to preaching sometimes, and the Lord will open something up to you that you didn't even know was there until you start preaching. He just unlocks your mind while you're doing it. Now, boy, that's really something for me. But oh my. And I tell you what's hard to understand, and when it is hard to understand, you know what it is? It's good to try our faith. But what's essential for us to know is plain as the nose on our face. Let me show you over here in 2 Peter. Look in 2 Peter 2. Let me show you something. I hope I can show you something over here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Talking about the way, the good old way of believing the word of God and coming as a little child gives rest to our understanding. But look what he said here in 2 Peter 1:16. Now he's talking about Christ being on the mountain now. He said, this is the first thing we've done. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, making up fairy tales. Fables, something with a moral story behind it. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and listen to this, and were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now he's talking about when they was on the Mount of Transfiguration. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But now listen to this. He said, I was an eyewitness to all this. I heard God speak. I was with Christ and saw Moses and Elijah. But he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. I'd rather trust God's word than going back to my experience. That's what he's saying. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well to take heed as a light that shines in the dark places until the day dawn and the star arise in your hearts. So, oh my, he said, oh, I was there on that mountain. And I tell you, we ain't, but I'd rather have the word of God, what he's saying. I'd rather have the word of God than that. And oh my, so we got to take the word. And some people find rest and rest and find things by reading theology that they say and seek and say an ordinary person can't see it. You know, there's people say, well, we got some insight that you just can't understand. And let me tell you this. You know, there's places where they call people like sitting out in the pew, they call them lay people. So what that does is that means the preacher is not, he's different from you lay people. You lay people ain't supposed to know nothing. We're supposed to know everything. Well, that's popery. Catholicism, that's what that is. But what I'm trying to say is this. There's men that I know of and people that I've met that they think they've got a little bit of secret theology here that nobody else can get it. And if you don't say your shibboleth exactly the way they say their shibboleth, then they won't have no fellowship with you. Just like here a few, not too far back, a bunch of people that I knew, and one fellow I was I done asked him to come and preach. And I said, when you get time, give me a holler and I want you to come preach for it. The next thing I heard from this fellow was he believed the earth was flat. And then they made that to be their gospel. And if you didn't believe the earth was flat, you're the one there's something wrong with you. And then there's fellows that's got this New Covenant theology. It's called New Covenant theology. Well, what in the world's New Covenant theology? I don't know. I just know that theology is the science of God. And I tell you what, and how do you understand, like I've already told you, how do you understand God to be how great and glorious He is? And oh, and then some read it philosophically, read the Bible philosophically. And they'll say, I can't make out what they mean or can't make head nor tails out of it. And they bring a cloud of smoke over it. You know, they can't, oh my. But brothers and sisters, there's no peace, no rest for a soul in making the scriptures fit your system. You know, the Bible don't fit Calvinism and it don't fit Arminianism. The Bible comes, it's something that only God can make you understand it. Some things seem to contradict themselves, and then you go over here and Scripture interprets Scripture, and then you find out it all goes together. It's just like a wonderful puzzle. You put the pieces together, and you say, I see it! I see it! I see it! I see it! Oh, my. Let's just take it like it is. My father said it. Well, I don't need it. My mind's going to quit asking. I'm going to quit worrying about it. And then let me tell you this one. Here's the third thing about it. The way of living by faith daily. Living by faith daily. Trusting our lives with God. I mean all day, every day. Daily, trusting God for our lives. You're talking about giving rest for your mind. Giving rest for your mind. And oh my, our lives can't be divided up. Our lives can't be. I know some of y'all going to get up tomorrow and go to work. But your life with God, and your relationship with God, and your living by faith, you can't separate your life from my working life, my daily life. And you can't separate your life. Our lives not in separate parts. Though we have to do different things, but still yet we have to trust God. We do trust God daily with our lives. Lord, whatever, my life is in your hands. Do as you will. Do as you will. Now let me, oh my. Our whole life is dependent on God. Living by faith. Leaving our affairs in His hands. Abraham did. He went out not knowing where God was, where he was going. When God told him to take Isaac up on the mountain, he took him up on the mountain. And he said, I and the lad will come back. Enoch, he lived by faith and gave his affairs into the hands of God. And Enoch was not. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Daniel gave his life to God. Every single day. And God called him as a beloved man. Called him beloved. Paul did. Oh my. He said, I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep. And oh, our affection. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your affections up there, that when Christ shall appear, shall we also appear with him in glory. When Christ our life. You know, I don't know how to, that we was, my sweetheart and I, we were on the way home today, and there was this car in front of me, and I seen it. It says, no worries. God's got everything covered. Now, I'm not a worrying person, but I have some care and some concern for people. And I know that God's grace is sufficient. But you cannot be in love with the Lord's people and be in love with Christ and not care about the people that you know. You cannot not do it. When you see you're the Lord's people in trouble, you see their Lord's people in burdens, you see people going down from being big, healthy people, going down to just a little bit of nothing, and just wither and wither and wither away, you cannot not be concerned for it. I wouldn't say I call it worry, but I would say that they on my mind an awful lot. When you, give my life to God daily? That's what we have to do. We have to take everybody to the Lord. Everybody. Oh my. Being a Christian, being a believer is trusting God with a sick child. Being a believer and being a Christian is trusting Christ, trusting God with a sick self. Oh, trusting God is in trust, seeking His guidance for this world and everything that's in it. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom in what to say. Give me words to put in my mouth. Give me the ability to call on you for what's necessary for your people. And oh, my. Oh, Lord, when to do something, when not to do something. And oh, Lord, if we just give Him our daily lives and I tell you our lives governed by Him. Oh, rest, 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 peace and rest for our souls. Oh, peace and rest for our souls. Let me give you another one. That good way, that good old path. The way of obedience to God's commands gives rest to the soul. Now, what do I mean by that? A lot of men want to be their own master. But I want Christ to be my master. That's the difference. I don't want to be my own master. Whatever my master says, that's what I want to do. It's like Simon Peter, when the Lord Jesus fixed to wash his feet, he said, no, you're not going to do that. Not my feet. He said, if I don't wash you, you got no part in me. Start at my head. Wash me all over. He changed his tune real quick. And that's what I'm talking about. But oh my, oh, to be under our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He's a good master. He never tells you something wrong. He never tells you to go anyplace wrong. Never tells you to believe anything wrong. Never tells you to do anything wrong or believe anything wrong or act any way wrong. And oh, if God's your master, oh, we'll follow His word. We'll ask for His will. And then we'll have peace of mind and heart. You know, the way of the transgressor, that's who's hard. Look over in John with me in chapter 14. John 14. Let's see where it's at. John 14, verse 15. Look what our master says here. Talking about keeping His commandments now. Here's the first thing He said. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, that's the first thing. Do you love Him? That's an easy answer for a believer. If you love me, do what I tell you. Huh? If you love me, do what I tell you. Look what he says over here in John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, and you know, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, my joy, and yet your joy might be. This is my commandment, and this is the long and short of it, of everything Christ tells us to do, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that's easy. That's pretty good. Is that hard? And listen to this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And listen to this. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Love and friends. Oh my. We'll never ever lose anything by trusting God. Even to our own hurt, God will keep us and God will preserve us. Here's another good old way. Another good way to walk in. The way of communion with Christ our Lord. That gives rest to our heart. You know, Moses, when he was fixing to go out, he told God, if you don't go up with us, I don't want to go. He's getting ready to go out over into the promised land, getting ready to go. He said, Lord, I don't want to go. Why don't you want to go? Unless you go. If you don't go, I don't want to go. That's why we're talking about communion. And I tell you what, communion with Christ. You know, the presence of the shepherd gives rest to the sheep. He makes the sheep to lie down in green pastures. When the Beloved takes us into his banqueting house, it's a time of love. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to commune with our Lord Jesus Christ and have rest of heart. We rest in him right now. Oh, in him, our salvation is complete. Our righteousness is his. His atonement for our sins is fully made. We are beloved of the Father, preserved by grace, supplied by his glorious providence. We can carry our burdens to him and leave them there. Being in his service is so sweet. His yoke is easy. Peace is enjoyed. Oh, my soul indeed find rest in him. In him we have rest from our desires, rest from our fears, rest from our regrets. The gospel accomplishes this for us. And last of all, the good way, the old path, the way of salvation by grace, gives rest from our works. Salvation by grace. The way of salvation by grace. If it's of works, it's no longer grace. And if it's of grace, it's no longer works. Can't be both. Oh my. I tell you what. By grace. Oh, the way of salvation by grace, free grace, sovereign grace, mighty grace, power grace, electing grace, enabling grace, justifying grace. To be justified because of our own works would never bring any peace or bring any rest. And oh, if that's what it is, when will I know I've done enough? If giving got to have something to do with it, how will I know when I've given enough? If witnessing has to have something to do with it, when will I know I've witnessed enough? And here's the difference in grace and works. If I do enough in quantity to satisfy some church or some preacher somewhere, the quality would not be worth anything. And that's what counts. It has to be perfect in order to be accepted. Oh, sincere obedience, not the same as perfect obedience. Good works are not the same as it shall be perfect to be accepted. So, salvation by grace gives rest from our works. Oh, he that ceased from his works as God did from his. I read a story one time about the Catholics have masses. They have a mass. And that's I've got a whole thing in there about it. But what it is, they had a cardinal died. Cardinal died. And you know that a cardinal is just one step below being a pope. And I mean, they wear right red robes and red funny looking hats and fish hats, and it's awful looking regular robes. But anyway, they dress like women, want to be called men. Be called Papa. But oh my, this cardinal died. Name was Wiseman. And they all had a big mass. Oh, they all got together and had a big mass. And they prayed for the repose of his soul. Prayed for the repose of his soul. If you ain't got rest and repose of soul before you leave this world, you ain't going to have it when you do. I'll tell you what. I get home, and we got one of them chairs. You push a button, and then it goes way back. I'm going to get home this evening, and I'm going to repose. I'm going to change clothes, and I'm going to repose. And that's what I do in Christ. We repose in him. We rest our souls in him. Now, that's the good way. Everything I brought out tonight has to do with Christ and his work and on our behalf. And I tell you what, and everything about him gives us rest, don't it? Huh? Gives us rest. And you know where we need rest at? Before him. I got it. Oh, bless his holy name. Our Father, thank you for meeting with us this evening. Oh, Lord, what a blessed God you are. What a blessed Savior. What a blessed Master. What a blessed sacrifice you offered. That you put away sin once and for all by the sacrifice of yourself. And by that sacrifice, you have perfected us, made us complete. Oh, Lord, and we want, oh, how we just... Brad already prayed, Lord, we want to walk upright before you, want to walk before you, love you with our hearts and souls, and give us a greater love for you and a greater love for one another. And help us to always pray for our brothers and sisters, especially those in great need. Never let us forget them. And Lord, you told us to love one another, and you proved what love was. You laid down your life for your friends, and you called us your friends. So, Lord, we bless you and praise you that you've done that for us. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Blessed, 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 blessed be your holy name. Oh, Lord, blessed be your name. Oh, you're such a good master. You're such a good master, such a wonderful master. Your yoke is so, so easy, and I'm thankful for it. Oh, how thankful I am. Bless our dear brothers and sisters now, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Every moment and every way. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, if you got it. Let me see if I can find it here. What did I start on? Every moment of every day, every instant, and every way, I'm leaning on Jesus. He's the rock of my soul. I'm singing his praises. If I didn't have that, I'd have messed us up bad. Well, you know, I was telling the men back there in the study, I said, Paul Mahan, somebody told me the other day that he gets what he's called PPS. And that's what was that? Pre-pulpit syndrome. You know, that gives me, you get stressed out before you preach. And then he has PPS when he gets done. Post-pulpit syndrome. And I've got that right now. I love you. Good night and God bless you. Oh.